sights to show you.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vietnamese. I feel like Vietnamese is the only, is like the one that I have next to try of like Asian food.
Oh, and like Riverside, there's so many Vietnamese people. Just, it's everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
That makes sense.
Oh, man. Human banh mi, you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys ready to get started?
Human banh mi.
Mm-hmm. What part of Vietnam did you get this from?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, on that note, to another episode of the Horrible Pupils Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
I'm hungry for meat.
Great. Disgusting. And joining us, welcoming back to the podcast, Kathleen. Hello.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We are very excited.
Oh, it's going... I love that I think Kathleen's going to be our last month of the podcast season lady. That's just going to be here, and we're going to cover just really fucked up shit like that.
Yeah. we did it last season with compliance, and we're back with something only... like a modicum less fucked up.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a touch.
A little more stylish.
This one's a little bit more palpable.
Yeah.
Good, just, good words.
Just barely.
Pun intended.
Today, we are covering Fresh from 2022.
Ooh.
We hinted at it last week. But we hinted at it last week, but this is the... this is one of the movies that once we saw it, we knew we had to give it a full episode, like, treatment, instead of including it in our roundtable episode that's coming out at the end of the month. So, very excited to talk about that. But per guest tradition, Kathleen, why don't you kick us off with the credits?
Alrighty.
Yay, let's do it.
Okay, cool. So, Fresh. And I love how you have like giant font for these. I feel like it's very relevant for the content of the film.
Yes. And,
like, people gotta know. They never see it, but
they don't. But the audience should know the script very much matches the tone and theme of the movie. So Fresh, the horrors of modern dating, seen through one woman's defiant battle to survive her new boyfriend's unusual appetites. Which
really
like
official?
No, I love how Anthony immediately latched onto that. It was just like they never had that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's
he
reading
never
a little
said.
Bit. Yeah, they're not official boyfriend girlfriend.
Well, you know, I actually like when I read that because I read that when I first before I saw the movie, like before we even talked about doing this, and it said her boyfriend. So the whole time I was watching the movie the first time, I was expecting there to be more of, like, an official situation. So I did have the same inclination where I was like, he's not her boyfriend.
No, absolutely.
This is a situationship.
At best.
Yes.
At best.
A very particular situation, yes.
A very particular situation. Also, like, they went on, like, two dates?
Maybe two, yeah.
They only show two.
Yeah.
They show 2 dates?
It's a hostage situationship. That's what it is.
It is a hostage situationship.
And
for
guys,
sure.
Guys, like, red flag, totally. Like, I almost did this. I started dating a guy and almost went on a trip with him within like 2 or 3 weeks of dating. And then there was a moment where I was like, should I not do this? And then I didn't go.
Did you go?
No. We were like planning the trip and. He was like, we're gonna go to Philadelphia, and I was like, oh, we'll like park here and then we'll like walk over to this other part. And he was like, walk? I was like, yeah, like it's only like a mile away. And he was like, what? Like, that's 30 minutes of walking. I can't do that. That's a ridiculous amount of walking. And I was like, yeah, I don't think this is gonna work out.
You're like, COVID, I can't go.
If you think, like, walking for 30 minutes is too much, I can't go anywhere with you. Like, what?
I think I hear Kathleen's New York coming out, because that's not normal for Los Angeles.
No, like, as you saying that, I'm just like, if something is more than, like, a 15-minute walk away, I'm just like,
That's a very different, because, like, walking in L.A., you're walking through weird things in between.
Yes,
like,
that's just my point.
In the East Coast, it's not... the same.
Totally.
Like, you'll get 3 different hoods on the way through to get to that one bar you really wanted to go to. Oh.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I was in New York, I did a tremendous amount of walking.
Yeah.
But also, everything is so clustered together, at any point I could have been like, hey, I'm tired of walking, and we just like ducked into a bar for 30 minutes and drank, and then I just kept walking. Like,
God, I miss that about New York also.
It was like fun. It was like a bar crawl that never stopped. Like,
Well, and also on the east, on the west coast, it's very hilly. You're bound to run into some type of like major incline or decline or something.
Yeah, fucked up sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fucked up sidewalk, yeah, like earthquake ditch. but on the east coast, things are really flat. Yeah. So I feel like 30 minutes is not, it doesn't feel like the same type of walking as it does at all in California. But
I love, my friend Caitlin, every time she describes something, she's like, it's 3 short blocks, 3 long blocks. And I was just like, I'm like, thank you for describing that in a way that makes no sense, but kind of makes sense. Or like the way she'll explain it is just like, it's this number of short blocks and this number of long blocks. And it makes it a little bit more palatable, where I'm just like, I can walk that, I think. That like, yeah. I can handle that.
I speculate what a long block is. I think I have an idea. So cool.
No, that makes sense, because I've had a hard time figuring out how to decipher those two. I've said like city blocks versus like small town blocks is kind of what I say.
Yeah, she calls them short and long blocks, which makes it easy to...
So much sense.
Yeah, because like a short block, I can walk in like 15 seconds.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know, like those are... And then a long block is going to take
like
a couple...
10 minutes.
Right, it's going to take a couple
minutes. It'll take a little bit.
So I get it. It makes sense. So, sorry. First caveat.
We're already doing it. All right. More information.
Yes. So this was directed by Mimi Cave, written by Lauren Kahn, produced by Adam McKay and Kevin Messick. Cinematography is Paweł Pogorzelski.
Good job.
I definitely butched that.
Yeah, it's gonna be important later.
Oh, I know. I saw the outline.
Pogorzelski.
I think that's good. That works.
Okay, thanks. Starring Daisy Edgar Jones, Sebastian Stan, fingers up, and Jonica T. Gibbs, Charlotte LeBon. release dates were January 20th, 2022 for Sundance, and March 4th, 2022 for larger United States. Sorry, my cat just started meowing.
That's okay. Britannia's probably going to do it at some point. She's
like, did you say Sebastian Stan?
Archie gets very excited for Sebastian Stan, as we all do.
We can cut a piece of my ass any day.
We'll get to those jokes later, Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I included plenty.
Okay, so the budget for this was 15 to 20 million. That is legit insane. I would not have expected that.
Hey, they had to pay Sebastian Stan.
That's true. That's Avengers money right there.
That's half of that budget right there. And then box office, .. who's to say?
Yeah. It don't matter in this instance.
I couldn't find anything. If someone found something, please feel free to let me know. But
Hulu paid for it. That's what you need to know.
Yeah. Your subscription that you do not pay for pays for it.
I pay for Hulu, and I give everyone access to it.
That's right. I have my own account profile on there. I'm golden.
It's true. I pay for the ad-free version, too.
That's right.
Wow.
Spoil my friends.
Yep.
Wow. Jesus.
You know, I'm handing out Peacock subscriptions, and like, it's more ads than normal, actually.
I asked for more ads.
I need the cheapest possible one, please. I'm not paying more than a cup of coffee a month for this shit.
Yeah, I have I have a part of my phone bundle with Verizon, and I get Disney, Hulu, and ESPN together for like $5 a month.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's really clutch.
That's so nice.
Your cat is raving about the order in the background. She's like, $5, fucking A. No.
I'm gonna have to open my door. He's gonna keep doing this. Hold on. Sorry.
All good. I think I pay like $30 a month for Hulu.
30?
What?
27?
Is that how much the ad-free version is?
No, because I also get HBO Max.
Oh, you have the bundle. That makes sense.
I also get HBO Max through there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Bitches. Wow, committed.
I know. Yeah. I need access to every streaming service ever because of this fucking podcast.
you know I have HBO, right?
Yeah, but it's just the way...
You know, I need one app.
It's convenient this way. Anyway.
So, yeah, it does, because it streams directly through Hulu then.
It does, yeah. So to kick off the podcast, instead of doing Alex's Theory Corner, I decided I'm going to scare all the youths of America by talking about the horrors of online dating.
Like our audience is new.
But seriously though, like I like that a lot of the advertising is just like this main character is just jaded by online dating, and now then it goes terribly, terribly wrong. And like it's just, and for me, when I was watching it, like that wasn't exactly the point that I got from it. But we're gonna get into it later.
Yeah.
But our main character Noah spends the beginning of Fresh swiping away on a dating app of some kind in Portland. But just how accurate was her experience? Sure, you might not get kidnapped by a serial killer. Well, maybe.
There's a couple YouTube videos I've seen where this happens.
So many.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that online dating is now responsible for approximately 20% of marriages, a 2017 study from the Pew Research Center indicated 36% of online daters found their interactions, quote, either extremely or very upsetting.
Oh, Jesus. 36?
Yeah.
I'm trying to calculate my own right now. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, yeah. What's your satisfaction
score? 16%. 60%. Extremely disturbing or upsetting.
Great. Women online looking for love ages 18 to 37 in the 2020 Pew study also reported high occurrences of threats of physical harm, and about 19% of that, as to 9% for men.
9% of men who reported it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this also reported for women too. Yeah,
that's a good point. Yes.
Or even just like not even realizing, or like, because like you also have to get people to agree to these studies. Because like I've never done one of these studies, but I could spend this whole podcast. I'm sure Kathleen could too, telling like tales of like the amount of like epithets and like, you know, threats I have received on dating apps.
Yeah. See, that blows my mind.
You know. Oof. I honestly haven't really, like, I think when Tinder first started, well, when all the dating apps first started, I was in a relationship.
Mm.
So by the time I was going on the apps, I never used Tinder.
Gotcha.
Like, I think I made a profile and then didn't use it because I was like, this.
You got a days where the swipes, you're like, nope, none of these. Nope.
Tinder is, yeah. Drives me. Nuts.
I'd barely use it now, to be honest with you.
I hate Tinder.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I've like never thought of using it. It just seemed really creepy. And then OkCupid, because I had a roommate at the time that was like swearing off OkCupid, and I used that,
like,
and that
a
was
lot more
creepier.
Yeah. Well, because
it was so much creepier.
People on OkCupid like just like would have the ability to just like send like fucking paragraphs and love that shit, and I was just like,
yeah,
please stop talking to me. You're so weird.
And
you're
they
so
can
weird.
Message you without you matching with them first.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So that's creepy.
Well, it's the same way that you can with like Hinge, where it's like if you respond, like if you like. Or trying, like, if you like someone, you can,
comment.
Like, respond with, like, a comment.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, is that where the paragraphs happen?
Yeah.
Is that, oh, shit.
Where it's just, like, someone sent you an intro, and it's, like, that's what they did on OkCupid.
My God.
Yeah.
Am I doing this wrong or right by not giving as much of a shit?
remains to be
well,
seen.
Well, probably right. Probably right, because yeah. I've never responded to those people.
Well, okay, because, and I was telling Anthony about this, like, last week, but there was this guy, like, who sent, like, the weirdest creep, like...
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Like, mm-hmm. He was so weird, like, just, like, the, and that's just, like, the tip of the iceberg.
Like,
yeah.
Why do you think that? Sometimes I hear a lot of stories because I'm told I'm a normal dude, which apparently is anomalous.
You're just a normal guy.
Yeah, so I get a lot of stories from people. I'm like, what dude in their right mind would think that's a good idea? I don't know.
Well, and I gotta be honest with you, like, I really related to that moment in the film where, like, the guy sends her those creepy texts and says, like, I'll make you wet, and she's, like, grossed out at first, and then she picks up the phone anyway and is about to respond. I was like, yeah. We've all been there. And then he sends her a picture of his dick, and then she's like, oh,
okay,
no.
I'm
like,
done.
That's always the drawing line. Like, oh, okay, maybe I'll play around with this. Maybe I'll have fun. And then it just gets creepy immediately.
Absolutely. Yes. So
we're all sexual beings. Like,
no,
whatever.
I mean, it's just like, ugh. And then, like, you know, like at one point, like 30 minutes later, if you're like, eh, and then it gets creepy, and then you're just like, okay, I'm blocking, I'm moving on with my life. You're such a weirdo.
Yeah. Like, which is just an indicator of how tolerant we are like we are of like creepy behavior.
Oh, and dating apps, it, like the gamifying, yeah. I think is the word that it was used on one of yeah. the videos that you sent me, Anthony. Like mm-hmm. the gamifying of dating apps or like yeah. dating, online dating in general is mm-hmm. fucking bonkers because it's just like you, within a split second, you're deciding whether you like someone or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very shallow kind of decision super. At first. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say, though, that, like, since moving to New York, like, meeting guys in real life, too, mm-hmm. it is a similar experience. Like, you do kind of decide right away. And I feel like guys in person, like, first of all, I don't think that guys really hit on people anymore. Like, if you go to a bar...
I've never met a sexual partner in real life. Ever. Well, except for yeah. PJ, but we went to college together. Like, yeah, that's, exactly. you know, like... I mean,
that's a different case.
Yeah. Yeah, college is a very different that's environment
It's
a different environment
because you're all forced together. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's kind of yeah. different, you know what I mean?
And there's a sense of safety, sure. which is probably false, but it's there.
a presumed sense of safety, yes.
Yeah. yeah. No, but, like, since moving to New York, like I'll be, like, in big groups of people, and, like, I'll be introducing myself to just a variety of men, mostly, and the creepiest ones, like, come up to me, and there's something about my face that people assume I'm very friendly, and so they just tell me their whole life story. And quickly, I'll just... And, like, these guys tell me, like, yeah, I'm not very good with the ladies. Like, yeah, like, I get creepy... Like, that? I give creepy vibes. Like, people say these things to me. And I'm like, yeah, I wasn't attracted to you. I, like, didn't think this was going anywhere in that direction. And now I want to actively run away from you. Like, I don't know. I feel like people have just really unlearned all social boundaries when it comes to face-to-face. So I almost feel like my in-person interactions are very similar to how I interact on dating apps, because it's like you kind of have to make that split-second decision of, yeah. like, should I stand around and wait for this guy to, like, throw himself down his own grave, or do I, like, find someone else, like, make eye contact? Like, it's horrifying.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I also feel like I have a very trusting face for some reason.
Me
so
too.
A lot of people unload, and I'm like, hold on a second, that's a lot of details yeah. that this is we're 3 hours into the date, which is nice. I'm glad yeah. we're hanging out right now, but also that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I remember yeah. I was on like anytime someone like just like goes into like a good chunk of their life story, like on mm-hmm. a first date or like even a second date.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I know I have, like, a face and like that like you could just tell anything to. Like mm-hmm. I get that.
yeah.
But I don't need to carry this for you.
But let's right. just have fun. Let's have fun right, right now. Like, let's do that first. And then yeah. give it a little bit of time, and then we'll talk about, you know, the traumas that I didn't know about
right.
5 seconds ago.
Like, yeah. yeah. I had a guy, like... Well, so that guy that I was dating for a little while there, he... like, after the first date, starts telling me these, like, literal trauma, like, that happened, and, like, the reasons why he didn't want to have sex yet, and, like, when he said he didn't want to have sex yet, I actually thought that was admirable, and I was like, okay, cool, like, I didn't ask a million questions why, and he tells me his life story, and I was like, oh my god, this is horrifying. I broke up with him, like, about a month or so later, and then I was like, oh, maybe we'll try it again, because he, like, begged for me to come back. And he picks me up, and he's telling me about how he had, like, this horrible experience where this girl was, like, trauma dumping on him, like, after the first date. And I was like, you mean, like, you did exactly to me? Like, that's exactly what you did to me. And he was like, no, like, that was different. I was like, literally how? The situation you just told me is exactly what you did to me. Like, you're only proving why I shouldn't be here.
He's like, no, that was different because I care about myself. And I yeah. care about that, so, you know?
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, it happens yeah. on dates. It mainly happens for me, pillow talk. Like, the yeah. second I have sex with someone, like, I'm going to tell you every bad thing that's ever happened to me, ever. And I'm like, oh, my God. Get out of my house.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started on pillow talk. Let's keep talking about this before we get further. No. We're like, not even discussion yet. I love it. And we're like, well, hold on a sec. We got to unload real quick. We're trauma dumping on each other across coasts.
Well, because I feel that's like why I wanted to have this as, like, a section, because we're all, like... on dating apps, we're all single, we all kind of have this experience, right?
Yeah. yeah.
Fucking coaster is just...
And I feel like it's what's made this movie such a pop culture instant icon.
Oh, yeah.
Like just these relatable stories. Like, we've all been waiting for a movie to encapsulate it in a way that felt more real.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Noah's dating experience felt really, really genuine.
Oh, absolutely.
And her responses to it felt very genuine.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Like, just the frustration, like, I get.
We just needed a cannibalism vehicle to make more palatable to general audiences. That's how that works.
Well, and also kind of, like, her submissiveness to shitty behavior. Like, the first date where she goes to meet the guy, and then, like, he says, like, yeah, says, like, hey, cash only or whatever. And then she's like, well, I'm already here and I'm hungry. Like, so many people have done that where you're just like, oh, fine. Like that guy I referenced just now that I was dating. Like, there's so many things like that where I'd get really annoyed and frustrated, but I would be like, oh, whatever. Like, people are human, right? Like, I would always justify it in some way. Mm, and I felt like that's a really relatable trait for women. I mean, men too, I think, to a certain degree. But yeah, it's just like this movie did that really, like, that thing of sunk cost, you know, like we said.
Yes, sunk cost fallacy. Yes, sunk cost fallacy. Yeah. That's a very good way of putting it.
Like, well, we talked about that specifically. That was missing in that complacent movie, which is, like, kind of built into the idea of complacency. But this movie does that very, very well, like, immediately.
Yeah, yeah. You know what you're getting into, like, within the first 10 minutes of this movie. And you're like, okay, cool. I want to see how her journey goes. Oh, it goes there. Shit. And you can see why it happens. Like, it's it's not that big a leap, which kind of makes it scarier.
Well, also,
it's really not, yeah.
In that particular date, I thought it was, like, extra funny. Well, not funny, but, like, at the end, he's just like, well, this was fun. Let's do it again sometime. And she was like, ooh. Yeah. She's like, bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that actually brings it to, before we get, again, I know we're derailing here. But one thing, as a guy, that always blows my mind, that I've heard this from everybody, and I would never do this, but being called a bitch on a date or after a date because you didn't acquiesce. Mm-hmm. The way that played out, I was like, and I remember watching the first time with somebody I was seeing, and she's like, oh yeah, that happens. And I'm like, my mind, like, why would any person, like, react that way? That just...
Because you're a normal person with a soul.
Yeah, that's one. ugh. It's so fucking ugly, though. I'm like, dude, like, that's a thought. That's, like, a thought in their head. Like, if not X, then you are this. It's so binary. Thankfully, it's fucking lame.
I feel like it's happened less to me now. One, because I feel like I've
you're more selective, huh?
I'm more selective, better taste. Mm-hmm. Papa John's.
More selective, better taste. Papa John's. Swipe right.
I've gotten more selective, better taste, but also I feel like just, like, I've gained a lot more confidence over the last couple of years, that, like, just, like, the way that I carry myself, that if someone were to call me a bitch to my face,
Oh, you want to see bitch, buddy, huh? You want to see a fucking bitch?
someone would be getting bitch slapped, and I think that they know that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I actually do? I call them a bitch first. So that's actually it literally is a thing that I do. Like, if they say something kind of, like, funny, rude during the day, I'm like, bitch. So, like, I start that as a joke, and they love that I do that. Every guy I've ever said that to thinks it's, like, my in joke with him personally. And I'm like, no, this is just me. Like, I'm owning the word bitch. I also just think the word bitch is really funny and fun to say.
Oh, we say it all the time on the podcast.
It's right. Like, it's just bitch. It's, like, when I say it like that, people, they love it. Guys love it. So it becomes a thing that they can't use against me anymore. A lot of the times I'll get things like, when guys don't immediately acknowledge my intelligence, I get very annoyed. And so they'll start talking about their own intelligence, and I'll use that to pin them down, and I'll be like, yeah, you're not as smart as you think you are. And
I feel like you're bashing a bunch of debate bros. That's when I'll get the bitch. What's going on?
Yeah.
That never happened for me.
You'll never get what?
No, the intelligence thing. I feel like you're matching with a bunch of debate bros or something. Like, they're like,
Well, it's New York, too. Part of it is New York. Everyone here, intelligence is a moniker of how great you are and how much money you make. And
that makes
sense.
See, West Coast, shallow. It's just shallow shit.
Yeah.
I know this thing and this person and blah, 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 blah. Status.
Yeah. It's about who you know, not what you know. Yeah.
Most people are just really impressed that I have a podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've gotten that.
Really? So many people have podcasts, though. I mean, not that I think it's great that you guys have one and it's admirable because you guys do a great job, but
hey, thank you.
I feel like people make fun of people that have podcasts.
I think It's true that they do, but I think
I always get intrigued though. I never get mad. Yeah,
I've never gotten that, okay. Like straight up like I don't know, everyone has a podcast.
Mainly, they're like, I want to listen to it.
Mainly because people will ask, and then they'll ask how long I've been doing it, and then I say like how long we've been doing it.
Yeah,
and,
4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I say like, oh, I've been doing this for 4 years, and then they kind of like, I assume take me a little bit more seriously after I say that, as opposed to like, I've been doing this for 3 months.
I explain to them like, hey, we actually get messages based on the content in our episode, so there are people listening.
It's pretty quickly followed up with a, is it successful? And it's just like, well, like I'm not like,
see, I don't get that one.
Well, that's because
because
you're a man, terrible. It's assumed.
But also I think it's also a little different just because like I say I do podcasting and I'm a woman, like the joke is everyone like you put three guys in a room with and add a microphone and you have a podcast, right?
Oh my god, yeah. I don't even get me fucking oh, yeah, we'll talk about the Manosphere, I'm sure, at some point, because, yeah, I like that there's, you know, different genders here. That works. I think that makes it fun. Yeah. Makes it a lot of fun.
So, yeah. And I think that's the thing that kind of makes it a little bit different, because usually, like, whether I'm talking to, like, a guy or a girl on a podcast app, on a dating app, like, that's usually where the intrigue comes from, where it's just like, oh, you must have, like, actually interesting opinion.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a way to stalk you.
That's another one too. Yeah.
That's why I don't.
Yeah, I've had that a couple times.
That's
yeah.
why I don't give it out usually, mm-hmm. unless
I wait. Also,
yeah. I usually wait. Like someone, like if I'm having a conversation with someone, I'm like, oh, what is it? Because like usually, like there's certain dating apps where like I don't use my actual name,
mm-hmm.
And I don't give my podcast unless I'm like I actually like am interested in continuing the conversation with someone, and then I'll give them the podcast and I'll be like, by the way, this is not my name.
I wait for date time. Yeah. After date one, then I'm like, okay, you can listen to it now. There you go. That's how I do it usually. But also I'm of the firm belief too that you shouldn't have a podcast of more than three dudes unless your last podcast on the left. That's it. Any other podcast, not them, or that I've heard movies. With three dudes. Oh, We Hate Movies, exactly. Every other one, though, I've been like, oh, these guys are blowing themselves on the mic right now. What's going on here?
Okay, we have to bring it back.
We have to come back to the episode, yes.
So sorry.
As if all of that is not bad. In 2019, the Columbia School of Journalism in New York City and the news site ProPublica found that the Match Group, which is some of you might not know, owns around 22 dating apps, including some of your favorites like Tinder, Hinge, Match.com, OkCupid, and more. Only screens for sex offenders on its paid-for apps only.
Oh, pay a premium not to get assaulted. Okay, cool.
So that just means that if you're a sex and then I think there's another statistic that I saw that it's like 10% of sex offenders are on dating apps.
Well, that's an ugly one.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I feel like that's a statistic that isn't, I didn't include it like in the actual outline because it's not very, I don't want to say accurate, but like, you can be technically considered a sex offender for pissing in public.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah.
Right.
There's like, but also on the other side, like, being a sex offender, like, and this is so crass, and I'm so sorry, but if you like children, you're not going to be on a dating app.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you've got your dark web stuff for, like, those types of things. Like, people that actually want to meet up with someone, that level of respect, mutual respect, isn't something they care to...
Exactly. Right. We're not going to put the effort for that. That's not... That's
yeah, effort into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, all of that is to say that also... The only big app that has escaped the clutches of the Match Group as of this recording is Bumble.
Interesting.
All the other ones that I just mentioned were acquired by Match Group or, you know, came to being under Match Group.
Oh, interesting.
Well, and Bumble, it was started by a woman who was part of Tinder, I think. And she wasn't getting, like, the... money or respect or whatever from like the guys that were working there, and she started her own thing. Was like, well, fuck you guys, I'll do my own thing, and it became immediately overshadowed Tinder as soon as it started.
That is correct.
I do quite enjoy Bumble. It's very nice. Best leads.
I hate Bumble.
I know. I've heard that from women also. They usually don't like Bumble, but I also feel like that's the most people that tell me I'm normal. The most amount are just like, oh shit, are you like, you're not fucking weird, are you? I'm like, no, I'm good.
I'm sure. Now, what does all of this have to do with Fresh? According to director Mimi Cave, she wanted the film to first and foremost be a reflection of toxic dating culture and how frustrating and unsafe it can be for women. Yeah, dating apps were popular before the pandemic, but forced isolation caused them to fucking explode.
Oh my god, we're gonna get started on pandemic dating. That was
I wrote this with you in mind. Yeah. Tinder, the most downloaded dating app in the world, hit 3 billion swipes in a single day in March of 2020.
Damn.
What?
And it has broken that record more than 100 times since then.
I have not contributed.
What the French toast? So do you guys use Tinder?
No.
I stopped mostly, but I will say that it's one of those, like, I'll occasionally go back to it.
I have never
really
been on a date with someone that I met on Tinder.
Mm-hmm. I have, and honestly, it definitely fits the reputation of a hookup app, for sure. Not to say it's bad, because they're not bad people,
obviously. One of our friends met her husband on Tinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just, it seems like people are just more like... It's more the Wild Wild West comparatively, I would say, compared to the other ones.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like you get laughed out of town if you, like, put in, like, your bio on Tinder, I am looking for a relationship.
Yeah, I guess that makes kind of sense also. There's definitely no... One is stuck around. But that's, like, one in, like, a lot of swipes.
Exactly!
One in a lot. Well, like, that ratio is not great.
Also, like, the ratio of, like... Because here's the thing thankfully, I don't see as much on other dating apps, but on Tinder, it is insidious, and it drives me nuts. On Tinder, because this is also something that came up in this video that I watched on the Manosphere, which is a fascinating concept and I could talk about forever, but on Tinder, men will swipe right on everyone.
Yeah,
everyone.
On literally everyone they come across. And then, if a woman matches with them, then they'll go through their matches and unmatch based on who they've matched with. Because that's happened to me so many times on Tinder.
It's the gamification of Tinder.
And I'm like... And it's such a shitty fucking feeling.
Well, it fucks the algorithm, too, so you're not really finding anything good.
No.
You're just not. Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, see, you're finding matches. Would you like to rate our app? And I'm like, no, fuck you, Tinder. I do not.
Well, also, the more matches you get, the more Tinder's like, now you get to be out there more. Like, it's like an Instagram. It's basically the same algorithm.
All the other apps are like that, too. Like, when I've, because I'll go on dates or whatnot, and then I'll be like, I'm kind of done. Or, like, if I'm starting to see someone, you know, regularly. Like, I'm like, oh, I could see them again. I'll delete the apps. Not because I'm, like, committed to that person, but it's just, like, I don't know. The idea of, like, sleeping with multiple people at once sometimes sounds gross. So I'll delete it, and then I'll go back. And usually you'll see, like, your matches if you haven't gone on in a few days, like, especially on Hinge. And I'll have, like, none. And I'm like, well, did the app know I deleted it? Like, this is odd.
Yeah.
And it'll take me a while. Like, I'll have to be on it for a few days before I find people that I'm actually attracted to and are willing to talk to. Like, I'm like, but then once I do that, I get, like, an influx of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, the more likes you get, you know, the more likes the more presence you have in the algorithm. Like, it's crazy how true that is for dating apps, too. Like...
Yeah,
I don't know how that works, but to me that seems so evil.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, Tinder so evil. Does something similar but different. They'll if you are off the app for a long time and then you come back, they'll boost your shit.
Yeah, they want to keep you in. They want to lock you back
like,
in.
So, like, I'll reactivate my Tinder just for, I guess, shits and giggles. And all of a sudden, like, I will get, like, you got likes, like, all, and then I'm like, I just reactivated my Tinder. Like, they basically want to keep you, it's the gamification. Tinder is the most gamified app.
Oh, yeah.
Or dating app. And I have, and so I'll do, like, a rotation of, like, 3 different dating apps where it's, like, I'll only be on, like, 2 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1
mm-hmm.
or 2 at a time, because otherwise I get overwhelmed and frustrated.
Don't talk to me!
If I have 20 conversations going on 3 different apps, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
So you're the one that likes Christmas, right? Fuck.
No. Shit. Fuck. And then, it's just one of those, and then...
That's funny. I could totally see you doing this. This is great.
I hate it. I fucking hate it. I hate dating apps. I hate talking to people on dating apps.
Projecting into the mic right there. Way to go, Webster.
I gotta say, like, I am probably part of the minority where I have fun on dating apps.
Me too.
Like, it's not.
I love it.
I don't love it. I don't hate it. But, like, there, for me, there's a part of, like, like, being really charming and fun. Like, I want people to see that. So, I have exhausting. A good time, like, starting those conversations and stuff. I think where I, the reason why I think it's a little bit easier for me is that I really do focus on, like, talking to one or two people at a time. I don't, I'll, like, kind of, I'll tune out everything else out if I'm having a good conversation with someone. Same. And I typically will have a conversation with someone for at least 2 to 3 weeks before I try to meet up with them in person.
Oh, really?
So by the time I'm, so by the time I meet up with them in person, I'm like excited to talk to them because I've had a good rapport with them for a while. And I feel like I've vetted them. Like, they're clearly willing to put in the effort to try to actually talk to me before meeting me. And then so once I'm really fun on first dates, because it, for me, a first date's a blank slate. Like, it can be anything. You can do anything. You can talk about anything. I don't know. It's just fun for me. But I think it's because I've gotten really selective in my process and how I do it.
That makes sense.
And it's an ego boost, ultimately. That's how I see it. So.
No, I appreciate that. Like, especially the ego boost side of it, where it's just like, I mean, it's nice because it's like, I do like being complimented. Like, that's nice. Yeah. But it's also like, after a while, I'm just like, I'm not interested in sleeping in with any of you.
I tend to meet that does quick. Happen.
Yeah. I tend to meet pretty fast.
The thing that, like, what's so funny, it's a stupid thing I get really annoyed about. I have photos of me with elephants, right? Because, like, I do care about elephants. It's a part of me. And I did go to see elephants one time, and I like those photos. Mm-hmm. So, but they're actually quite old now. So one of my friends told me I was catfishing people. And I was like, this photo's 4 years old. Like, I know that's old, but, like, it's also an elephant. But every guy, that's what he asked me about, is like, oh, like, where was your elephant thing? Like, what do you do with that? Like, it's always about elephants. And as soon as they ask me that question, I don't respond.
Oh, because I've heard that.
And, like, I hate that that's a thing. Like, I know they're just trying to find a reason to connect with me. But if you ask me about anything else, literally anything other than elephant, I'm more likely to reach out to you.
Quickly it's quickly becoming, like, my Ren Faire photos.
Yeah. Oh, is that the one?
Yeah. It's quickly. Oh, and I have a Ren Faire photo, too. Yeah. And, like, I got that a lot. Like, are you a princess? And I'm like, oh my God.
No, like, for Jesus. Me, because we have to move on. We have to move on.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
Real quick, though, to go on Kathleen's point there, I do match with a lot of girls with tattoos, and I never say shit about the tattoos.
Because
they will always tell me on either first or second date, like, oh, thank God he didn't say anything about the fucking tattoos, because they won't respond. Yeah. They just won't fucking respond. Yeah.
Be original.
Talk about something else. Be original, say a joke, just be fucking funny. Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah, just so fucking tired. People have been like, oh, I like your tattoos. How many do you have? And I'm just like, way more than you can see.
Mm-hmm. Bitch. And you're not going to see them.
Nope.
Delete.
Bye. Moving on.
I knew we were going to get caught up on this one.
You're 40 minutes in.
Okay, let's keep going.
So
we're skipping that play for sure.
Yeah. While online daters generally say their overall experience was positive, they also point out some of the downsides of online dating. By wide margin, Americans who have used an online or a dating app or site in the past year, they'll say their recent experiences have left them feeling more frustrated, 45%, than hopeful, 28%.
Damn.
Well, that's life, guys. I hate to break it.
How do you feel about America? Pretty frustrated.
Not that hopeful.
As someone who's little, like, my middle name is literally Hope, like, I get that all the time. Just like, oh, aren't you, like, hopeful about this or whatever? Like, I feel like it's, like, supposed to be a part of me. And, like, it's just like, no, I'm pretty cynical asshole.
I would actually change it to hopeless.
And all of this is to say there's some fear when it comes to online dating because of situations like these. And I'm about to get into some scary shit.
And I was reading these, I automatically thought of 3 or 4 more YouTube videos that were not included here.
Absolutely.
That were like, ugh.
Yeah.
Can you send me those? Send me those.
Oh, I'll find them for you, dude. They're fucking horrible. Oh, they're really bad.
Yeah. So, Tennessee man Craig Mangrum was 30 years old when he went on his first date with an unnamed woman in December of 2016. He
sounds like a Ninja Turtle villain right there. Craig Mangrum.
Damn.
I know what joke you were going for, Alex. I know what it is. Keep going.
The pair visited multiple bars in the Nashville area. The woman wanted to drive them home in Mangrum's car despite having been drinking. Eventually, an angered Mangrum gave in, but once they got into his car, he threatened to kill his date. Frightened, the woman got out of the vehicle to call the police, but Mangrum chased her, forced her back into the car, and explained that police officers would ruin his prohibitionary release. After being driven to her irate date's home, the woman escaped again and called authorities while in the presence of neighbors. Mm-hmm. Mangrum was then arrested and charged with aggravated kidnapping. Because that is kidnapping, by the way.
That's definitely kidnapping. And I like that she's like, I'm on the neighbor's property. There's people here. You can't cross this line, baby.
I got witnesses, bitch.
Tossing salt around herself. Like, yeah, see? Don't come into the circle.
But Alex, you might say... That was in 2016. Surely apps have developed safety measures that take these kinds of things super seriously now in the year of our Lord 2022.
I wouldn't say that at all.
You'd think that, but no, especially when it comes to minorities.
Oh, fun.
This case is actually, I've seen, like, making the rounds on, like, Twitter and stuff. It's really fucking sad. Mm. So, in December of 2021, Lauren Smith Field was found dead in her apartment shortly after a Bumble date. The medical examiner announced the cause of death as an accidental overdose, but her family never knew her to do drugs despite their close relationship and immediately called bullshit. Quote, people know black women, black girls have been going missing and haven't gotten any attention, and I think it's at its boiling point, said the family's lawyer in a statement, saying, quote, we are just asking for process. That's it. Treat these cases like you would any others, unquote. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Smithfields was black, and her Bumble date was a white man who was immediately cleared of any wrongdoing, despite being the last person to be seen with Lauren.
Be a lot different if she was a white girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how was he cleared? Like, that's the immediate question.
He said that they got together, had drinks, watched a movie, had dinner.
And she went out and did drugs.
At one point, she left the apartment and came back and, quote, seemed ill. So basically,
so this was all the day was in her apartment.
Yes.
Mm. What?
Yeah. The family also.
And they just took his word for it.
Correct.
He's a what good old fuck? Boy, Kathleen. Don't you know how correct. That works? You know that works.
What the fuck? Mm.
The police also. The family also said the police did not notify them of Smithfield's death. Instead, said that they found out from her landlord when the police left a note on her locked door. They are also suing the police for mishandling the investigation. The lead investigator was relieved from the investigation as well after, basically, and as of February of this year, there haven't been any new updates. But they also had to, like, fight Bumble to release the name of the guy.
What the fuck?
So, so all that is to say is... Be careful.
be fucking careful. On it. Ugh.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
You know, considering the number of police stories we have going in the year of our Lord 2022, not surprised. Really not surprised. The shitty part is, like, it's horrifying, but also I'm like, okay, that makes sense the train, the sequence of events led to that outcome. Because they truly don't give a shit a lot of times, unfortunately. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. So
I heard a thing recently. It was from the Philip DeFranco show that like some study was done recently that like 50% of murders are solved in the United States.
50?
That's a higher 50%. Number than
90%. That's it?
Are solved. Yeah, that's it.
You'd
think... And apparently in other places like Chicago it's even less. It's like 24-25%.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's also, unfortunately, I mean, this is, people will say this is not a reality, but it's totally reality. Since a lot of the stuff that happened in 2021 or 2020 with the police stuff, a lot of departments haven't been doing their fucking job. They just have not been doing their fucking job.
Which is crazy because you know how much of the defund the police thing? Like, they've been refunded.
They didn't even lose
money.
They did not lose money.
In fact, they've gotten more.
But their ego got bruised, Alex. Oh. Their ego got bruised.
Morale is low, just
like the statistically high number of, you know, their wives. The same level right there. Yeah, fuck. Ooh, that's why Fuck the Police is still a relevant song. I'm sorry.
I thought Trevor Noah did an interview with the mayor of New York recently, and he asked a really good question, which was like, you know, police or, you know, the government, really, because it's like these political people will stand up and say, like, oh, the police are doing a really good job, so we need to give them more funding, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, when it's like the police aren't doing their jobs and they're not doing things well, it's like, oh, we have to give them more funding so they have more resources. Like, no matter what the problem is, the solution is always, like, they need more money.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
Well, it's because people who vote, like, in larger droves, unfortunately, they're the people that are like, give the police more. That's just who's going out. That's just who's going out, unfortunately. Sorry, youths. Like, it's just, that's just where we're at. And Alex is fuming. She's fuming.
So ridiculous. Oy. I mean, I could get on my soapbox about this, but that's not what the episode's about.
No. Yeah, yeah. There's barely any police in this fucking movie. So,
that's actually what I was going to say was, like, that makes it, hits it really home for this movie. Because, like, they ask about police and they mention it. But, like, the reality of the police never being involved is so real.
We don't see them once.
Like,
well, I think they're
never even, like, called.
The best friend calls them, right? And it's just, like, they can't do anything, mm-hmm. or...
No, she says, like, oh, what would I say if I called them? That, like, she went on a trip with her boyfriend and I haven't heard from her, even though she's been texting me and I don't think it's her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely...
Like, she says those rationalizations all the time. So, like, the police presence is there in the script, but it's, like... It's always, they talk themselves out of it every time.
Nobody has faith in the institution, so it's very clearly represented in the movie. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Totally.
Oof. Speaking of the movie, let's just talk about a little bit of how it was conceptualized, because I know we have a lot to talk about, so let's just run a zoo for the fans. But, of course, because this is a more recent release, there isn't a ton of information about the production, but there are a few articles that interviews that director Mimi Cave, who did a fucking amazing job for the debut, that talked about, which are very well worth checking out. So, long time, lifetime, really, horror fan and screenwriter Lauren Kahn said she wanted to write a film that would appeal to people who were horror fans and people who were not when working on this script. And in July 2020, it was reported Mimi Cave would direct the film in her directorial debut for Legendary Pictures, with the boy Adam McKay producing under his Hyper Object Industries banner. And of course, you guys know Adam McKay is known for his work on SNL with Will Ferrell and comedies like Anchorman and Talladega Nights. I can never say that one.
No. He also wrote Don't Look Up.
Yeah, he did Don't Look Up, and he did The Big Short, and he's actually become a pretty well-respected filmmaker outside of comedy, but it did take him, like, 2 decades of doing, like, dick jokes.
Of doing Anchorman?
Yeah, doing that kind of stuff to get there, for sure. I'm glad he backed this one, honestly. So, to play the antagonist, our boy, Sebastian Stan, sent Cave an audition video featuring himself dancing with a knife in hand. He added, quote, the dance sequences were a big concern for Cave, and just in case she had any doubts that I could do it, I record myself in this video, end quote.
He's such a lovely man.
He's great. There's a plane. Can we hear it?
I can hear it.
Yeah, kind of hear it.
Yeah, motherfucker. I'm just going to say, I did not understand the obsession with Sebastian Stan for so long. I thought the Winter Soldier, he looked really ugly and weird. Mm-hmm. And then seeing this movie, I was like, fuck.
Eat me. Really? Get it. Eat me.
I fucking get it. Yeah. And then I started watching interviews with him after that, because he's had other things come out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, he's great. Like, he's a little weird. And, like, in a perfect way. Like, he's a little weirdo. But, like, he's not surface level. Nothing I've seen of him is, like, he's just an oddball.
Oh, he is Kathleen's Pedro Pascal, I can tell right.
Actually, that's a really good comparison. I would agree with that.
That's awesome. Well, okay, so I love that. So between September and December 2020, Daisy Edgar Jones, Stan, and Jonika T. Gibbs were announced to star. Great cast. Great cast.
Yeah.
Daisy Edgar Jones is, like, really, like, sweeping a lot of movies right now. Like, she's, like, doing great.
She's a good performer. She's a great actress, actually. Yeah. So principal photography took place from February 3rd to March 17th, 2021, in British Columbia, Canada, because, of course, Canada is secretly any other town in film.
Yeah, it's USA.
Mm-hmm. When it came to directing, first-time director Mimi Cave wanted to take an approach that allowed her to take a stance against toxic relationships. A lot of blurred vision and stuff that, horrible. But great direction. When it came to the cinematography, I read this detail earlier. I fucking loved it. Paul Pogorzelski came on board already with an impressive resume, having worked on favorites in the podcast, Hereditary and Midsommar with Ari Aster. Two fantastic films. We will cover Midsommar one day, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You want to be on Midsommar? Because that's a good movie.
Yeah, we want to talk about toxic relationships. Oh, shit. Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
Next season's season finale month. So, Pogorzelski also did cinematography for lesser known but acclaimed horror films like Tragedy Girls. And the Hulu exclusive, which I still haven't seen but heard rave things about, False Positive.
Yes.
From the perspective of aesthetics and the importance of them, Cave says it's, quote, allowing people to step into the world afresh without alienating them.
Yeah, that's good.
Impressive
that makes
debut,
sense.
Honestly.
I totally forgot to mention, the director, has a lot of experience doing music videos, and I think that also really lends to this.
But you know what? I find that music video directors have a hard time. They cut too quick, or, they don't know how to do a full-length narrative. She nailed this. She did a two-hour fucking movie. And killed it. Like, that's anomalous right there. Very much worth praise. Speaking of the praise, Kathleen.
yeah. Well, I was just going to say, we'll get into it later. We keep going off on tangents. We can talk about what I like later. Okay, so the film premiered online at the Sundance Film Festival on January 20th, 2022. Ahead of its premiere, Searchlight Pictures acquired the film's worldwide distribution rights. An in-person premiere was held on March 3rd, 2022, inside Hollywood. I read that as Inside Hollywood. Inside Hollywood Legion Post 43 on Highland Avenue.
Where we saw Halloween, what was it, Kills?
Yes.
We actually were in that theater. They have the bar from The Shining in there. It is a fantastic theater.
It was so cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Kathleen, when you're back in town, we were watching a movie there. It was amazing.
I drove past it. Yes. I forget why I was in the area, but I went past it the other day.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. I want to go back. It was fucking awesome.
Me too.
Sorry, Kathleen.
Yeah, I saw all you guys' social media stuff about that. That looked really cool.
Oh, great.
Is that where you guys saw... Oh, wait, no. That was Ruben and Sasha saw someone. Never mind. Okay.
You guys do so many things. Yeah.
They're Ruben and Sasha are in every movie in LA, just all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so instead of the traditional after party, the screen had a pre-party instead due to the subject matter, which whoever came up with that idea was a fucking genius.
Dude,
I think
smart.
So funny.
Smart.
Get them drunk before the movie, because if we try to do it after, people are going to be creeped out.
Can you imagine the after party of a poor little waiter going up to someone with a little tray of meatballs?
Yes, a pate.
Hors d'oeuvre, and then I'm just being oh god, no.
With the cast too, with Sebastian Stan being there, that would be,
Sebastian Stan's downing meatballs and staring everybody's eyes.
If I had to be in the presence of Sebastian Stan after seeing this movie, I would have been deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Kathleen would be eat me.
No, I do. I have to clarify. The first time I saw this movie, I was not I got its pop culture, the dance scenes and whatnot, and I got why people were talking about it on social media, but I was really unsettled. And then I obviously had to take a step back and reflect. I was like, well, then it did its job.
Yeah.
This movie was effective with its purpose. And so as I thought about it more, I was like, oh, that actually was a decent movie. And I rewatched it this week when we were going to do this, obviously. And I was like, I actually really like this movie. The acting's good. It's normal. It feels very grounded.
Grounded, yes.
Despite its 80s kind of influence, which can feel very campy. It's very fun.
Yes.
Okay, so Fresh was released on Hulu in the United States on March 4th, 2022. This is also the first rated R Disney Plus property to get a release in certain countries.
I believe Australia.
Damn. Okay, Disney.
What about Australia?
It's a Disney, or it's like a Disney property in Australia, which it, and it's on Disney Plus, but it's the first rated R Disney Plus property in Australia.
They went hard.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's one way to do it.
Mommy, Daddy, I want to watch Fresh. No, no.
No, no.
Watch The Little Mermaid.
They see everything on TikTok. Like, this is such a fun dance movie.
Are we dashing the dance? Big time.
Okay. On the Rotten Tomatoes, Fresh scored at 81% out of 192 critics. The reviews were mostly positive, with an average rating of 7.1 out of 10. The website's consensus reads, "As gripping as it is upsetting, Fresh makes a provocative meal out of the horror of modern dating." I love it when they put these puns in.
The food puns and the eating puns in all of the, like... All the reviews on this were so upsetting. I was like, I fucking hate all of you.
I love it.
but what I really do appreciate about this is, like, just how well documented the sensuality of food is, and how the objectification of women in food has been so aligned throughout literature for, like, literally thousands of years.
Sure.
So I thought they did a really good job of, like, incorporating that into horror. Because that concept, the fact that we do that, is horrifying. So they just put it into a horror movie. I thought that was great.
One of my last upper division classes I took in college was feminist animal studies.
Okay. Not a thing I thought I'd ever hear in my life. But
you're welcome.
All right.
And that was a big through line of just, like, the objectification of animals and how that applied to women, and kind of, like, how sex sells, and how, like, how pretty much every single Carl's Jr. commercial ever is just, like, sexy woman walking next to a car, sexy woman eats cheeseburger.
Just her legs and a burger. Like,
yeah.
I'm having 90s flashbacks as a kid watching Carl's Jr. commercial and be like, that girl is pretty...
the whole through line of that, and
ketchup dripping as she's eating,
like,
it. Yeah, the whole thing.
And women, and just, like,
taking a big old bite. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing. So, yeah. So, I am very familiar with this concept and wrote many papers about it.
So fun.
Yeah. Okay, so Sarah Ty Black of Los Angeles Times stated that the movie takes a fresh approach to the horror genre through its handle of horror and comedy elements, and praised the performance of Stan. Tara Brady of the Irish Times, I didn't know that was okay, of the Irish Times rated the film 4 out of 5 stars, complimented the performance of the cast, and reviewed positively the feminist approach for the movie across the mental trust and friendship provided between the female characters.
They feel
where
like friends.
Would
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I, like, the comment of, like, mental trust, like, I didn't even really put that together until I read that comment when I was, like, reading your script. I was like, oh, yeah, that is something we do. Like, this just, like, unspoken level of trust that we just kind of have with each other. Mm-hmm. When we're in, like, intense situations, or if we're just around men at all.
Well, or even, like, the mental trust of, like, for example, I think if I went more than 48 hours without Anthony hearing from me, I think he would know something was wrong.
Oh, I would text Alex immediately.
Like, you know, and then, but then if I never responded after that, like, you would know to come looking for me. Like,
oh, yeah. I'd be like, hey, did you hear from Alex? Did you hear from Alex? No?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, which is great, because it's also one of those things where it's just like, I feel loved and cared for, because I know that if I get kidnapped, people are going to be looking for me.
Well, you have me and the entire arsenal of the bros.
Exactly.
We would all. Yeah, Alex is one of the bros now, by the way, if you didn't know. So, yeah, she has, like, a harem of dudes just waiting to be like, oh, who fucked with that? What's going on?
It's between that and also Caitlin, who also, I think, if after, like, a day, same deal, like, it would, like, so I'm like, I'm covered, motherfucker. I'm not getting killed today.
Unless you do it fast. Don't do it fast.
No, if you want to lock me in a basement, like, that's fine. I can wait. I can play the long game.
Like, she hasn't shared her meme in a long time. What's going on?
Her Instagram story is, like, not active. Is she okay?
I feel like for me it'd be kind of hard, because there are some days that I just, or weeks that I just go dark on people, and it's not out of the norm for me, so who knows what would happen to me, but I don't really care at this point. In terms of, like, a serial killer, like, I feel like I've mentally prepared myself for the possibility a thousand ways, like, I'll figure my own way out.
When I was in college, there was, like, a string of kidnappings or attempted kidnappings.
UCR, okay.
At UCR, around UCR. And this one person was, like, was kidnapped. And I guess she was, like, a psych major, and she convinced them to let her go.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's some shit you would do, Kathleen.
Yeah, yeah, no, I do feel like Kathleen would just, like, out-muscle the guy, like, mentally in some way. And they're like, wow, dude.
I've been preparing for it my entire life.
Truly, all between all the true crime documentaries and, like, all of the, like Criminal Minds I watch, like, I'm like, I have been preparing for this. I am ready.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, often, you know, I live in New York, and all the time I hear things about, like, oh, women were thrown in front of the train, or they were murdered after this or that. Like, I hear this stuff all the time, and it's not that I'm conditioned. I just, like, and I don't feel like it's never going to happen to me. I just feel like if that should happen, there's nothing I could have done to more than what I've already been doing my entire life to prevent and be prepared for that inevitability. Like, it's just a level of reality that you kind of have to deal with. So, yeah. I mean, like, things like my dad also from, like, a very early age was like, be alert, look around with your eyes, make eye contact with people because it shows that you're defiant and they don't want to have a fight with you. They want someone that's easy. Like, I've been told my whole life.
Don't be meek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Do it.
And that's, like, bit me in the ass in other ways, but I haven't been kidnapped yet.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I think it's been working, guys.
Plus, you don't want somebody that wants meek people. They're terrible.
I want a serial killer that wants a defiant woman.
Exactly. You want a woman to ask for anything else.
Yeah. Can a woman ask for anything else? Just the bare minimum, right? Okay, so where would we be without Litterbox? On Litterboxd, Fresh has 3.5 out of 5 stars out of 205,000 reviews.
Damn.
Lily, yeah. That is a lot. That's yeah. A lot. Lily with 4 stars kicking it off strong. With 4 stars?
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That was just me writing it repetitively.
How many stars did she get?
4.
Oh, okay.
4 stars.
Lily writes, kicking it off strong with 4 stars takes eating ass to a whole new level. Cute eating ass jokes all around the world. Okay, truly, Trin, yeah. Trin with 4 stars as well. Quote, safe to say a man's ultimate defeat being because he wanted a blowjob seems perfectly fitting. Allure with 3.5 stars simply states, I could fix him.
Oh, that was a good one.
These reviews are the funniest thing.
I purposely didn't look at really the reviews before yeah, they recording. Were so good.
I feel like I hear that joke a lot, like, I could fix him, and I, like, don't laugh when I hear that, but when I saw this for this movie...
Did you have that thought, Kathleen? Yes. Did you think you...
No. No, I thought I could join him. But then, that was the thing that I was thinking the whole time. And then she joins him, and I was like, okay, that clearly is not an original idea.
Like, girl, we had the same idea.
Andrea with 3.5 stars says, white woman's get out. Which, okay. Yeah, yeah. I have to agree with that. Yeah. Gabriella Hughes with 5 stars. Sebastian Stan proposed a weekend getaway after we danced around listening to Blood Orange and ate a takeout dinner. Hell, I'd end up there too. Because that is something I thought, like, watching this movie, I was like, yeah, I definitely would have been put in this situation. Like, I wouldn't have done anything different than what Noah does. Like, it's totally realistic.
You're like, bad reception? Okay. Do you have Wi-Fi? Are we okay? We're okay. We're good.
Oh, yeah, I think I definitely would have been a little bit more insistent about the Wi-Fi situation, but mainly just because I was like, I have shit I gotta do. I have comments to reply to.
People have to know about these views.
Like, the fact that he didn't have Instagram, like, I actively see that as, like, a positive when I meet someone.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, that was another thing, too, that I was like, I probably should see that as a red flag, but I admire people that don't have one.
Damn.
Take notes, fellas.
Immediately checks Instagrams. Okay, Lisa with 4 stars, fear of dating intensifies. And finally, Haley with 4 stars, fact, all of you would develop the worst Stockholm syndrome for Sebastian Stan, which, yes, 1,000,000%. Like, I don't even know. It's something, the way that he plays this character, I really have to admire. Like, he's very cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. And his level of delusion about himself and what he's doing, it's masterful the way that he plays it. I really do think that it's a big reason why this movie is not in the realm of full camp, because he does play it in a very realistic way. Yeah, serious props.
Even the campy scenes make him just seem more unhinged, but he brings it back.
Yeah, when he's like singing to Noah as he's like cutting off her ass, like that scene is what stands out to me the most. Is just like it could have been played up so campy, but like it's deranged.
I loved your delivery of cutting off her ass. That was perfect, Alex.
Her ass.
Her ass.
Ass.
Oh, well,
the scene for me is when he's cutting at the leg and like preparing the meat, and the fact that he's singing and not singing but dancing so emphatically.
Yeah, I was thinking
and
the exact
is
so same
excited
thing.
About that whole process. Like that easily could have been an embarrassing scene, but instead you're like it feeds into this like this eerie, creepy like realism that makes the movie much more palatable, because it almost humanizes him. I don't, it's really intense and weird for me, mm-hmm. but
agreed.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. We did it, guys. We
we made it.
We talked about it a lot though. Holy shit.
There was a lot there. So let's discuss the film. Thoughts? Kathleen, you want to kick us off?
What have I not already said? Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I'll just re-harp that, like, when I first watched this, I was not, because I knew it as, like, a social media pop culture thing, mm-hmm. and, I mean, my stupid toxic trait is that when that happens, I immediately assume that it's, like, not as good as people say it is. So I was very skeptical when I watched it the first time, and then, of course, like, it viscerally made me react, like, the meat scene. Where it's like showing him grind the meat and the men like eating the meat and like with these women's objects and just like smelling their panties and stuff. Like, I don't know. It hit me in all the wrong ways. But after further reflection, I was like, but that was actually like a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think the movie took itself too seriously. In the right ways. Like, it took itself seriously in the things that mattered, but didn't take itself too seriously in the things that it... If it had gone too hard on it, it would have made it unrealistic. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't think this movie's trying to be uber-realistic. I don't think it's trying to be, like, a defining moment in culture. But because of that, it kind of is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the greatest movie of all time. And I do think that there's always, like, room for improvement with anything. But this movie, there is something about it that makes it just, like, a few shades shy of brilliant. But I can't really put my finger on it. I can't really figure out exactly what the problem is. I think that very first scene with the guy with the sweater, or, like, the scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the restaurant, like, it's just every single line he had was the worst thing he could have said.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but, like, I think that, like, if it had tried to portray it, like, it wasn't funny. It just felt very forced when I first saw it. But seeing it the second time, I did find the humor a little bit more.
It sets a good precedent, for sure.
Yeah, it sets good precedent. I don't know. I just, it doesn't quite meet, like, a level of excellence, but I was very impressed nonetheless. And yeah, like, the cinematography, just the production value is much well beyond like what I was expecting. What was that?
Is it a White Claw can?
Yeah,
Alex. Oh. Right. Alex, you guys are always drinking White Claw.
Alex reflected on the Chinese date, and she something in her past came up, and she squeezed the can.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it was very good, and it was enjoyable. More enjoyable the second time watching it, for sure.
I couldn't definitely attest to the second time being more enjoyable, for sure, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll throw my thoughts in there. I personally, I mean, I liked it both times I've seen it. I've seen it twice. And I don't know, something about this movie, it just hits for me. Like, the mm-hmm. intro scene... Yeah, he could have said all the wrong things or whatever it is. But then also, as a dude, like, I see that, and I'm just like, oh, you fucking idiot. Like, like, that was my mindset. I'm like, but I, that did, again, not seem out of the realm of possibility. It did not seem that way at all, at least in my take on it. And I love that the movie stretches out this relationship dating portion of it for, like, a solid half hour, almost 40 minutes, right?
Like, it's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com initially, and you're kind of like, and it doesn't do it bad. It does it pretty good. Good enough so that when things do turn and you get the credit, you know, the title card and all that, you're like, oh, fuck. There's like a movie after this.
Yeah.
And it just, after that, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm not prepared for like a full three-act narrative now because the first act was a lot of holy shit.
It lulls you into a sense of safety.
Yes.
And then it hits you.
Very convincingly. Very, very convincingly. Just, again, like, you know, the whole scenario in the movie, obviously. I think the special effects are gruesome. They and I'm a steak lover. I fucking love my steaks. This fucked me up on meat for a little bit. And then there's an unhinged nature to certain scenes that I didn't anticipate, but it's never overstays its welcome.
I agree.
It's really, really knows when to pull back and be like, okay, and back to our character's journey of trying to figure this shit out and you wanting her to figure it out. And to me, movies don't always convincingly do that. There's nothing by the numbers about this, which is something I really, really appreciate. And I think modern horror generally does that pretty well. We're at a good point with that. But this movie, I think, is a good example of how to pace your movie correctly. Even despite it being 2 hours, this really does. I mean, it's a half-hour movie at the first part and a full 90-minute movie after that. It's very interesting.
I think, for me, that's part of the reason why it didn't feel like a two-hour movie. Because you have to, I mean, you wait 30 minutes, and then you get that title card, and then that title card, like, is just, like, that jarring, like, oh, shit moment.
Yeah, you really don't expect it.
I still have a whole movie after this.
Yeah, and you have, a real movie. Like, it's not just, like...
And the music is so eerie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, like, because you get that title card right after Noah's been drugged.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all the characters themselves, they all perform exactly the kind of roles that they needed to perform. And, you know, I think her friend in particular excels quite a bit. Because that whole journey, I was like, please find her. Please find her. Like, very rarely am I that invested in side characters. Like, you know that. Like, I don't care. But this time I was like, holy shit. Like, especially I need you to figure it out. Especially in horror, exactly. Because they'll get offed. And I was waiting for that the whole time. She makes it to the end. She fucking hits that girl. It's like, you... She's like, you bitches are the problem. Like, that whole thing.
when like, you think that she's dead after he finds her, they, like, take her down. I was like, really? They're gonna kill the black girl? Like, the first person that dies? Like, I thought this movie was better than that. And then it was!
It was better than that. Yes, it totally was better than that. And, like, not only that, it does diversity right, too, to be honest with you. It was kind of just a good movie. Like, it really, really was. I would say... a little different than Kathleen. I think it's also at the cusp of brilliance, but I think it hits the line right there. Like, it is brilliant, but it's at the border of brilliance for sure. I can't say what really, like, doesn't make it a 5-star one for me, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it could just be that this is a director's first film. And I think that might just be, like, a little bit of what it is.
Yeah, because I feel like to get to that level, it has to be really, really profound. It's pretty profound.
I mean, it's great. Like, and that's not even, like, this is a great film for me. This is, I mean, and to the point that, like, we agreed to give this its own episode.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than put it in the round table, for sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which I think would, by default, make it one of my favorite horror films of 2022.
Of this year, I definitely say it's up way up there. Way up
so
there.
So far, I guess I should probably
Go into your thoughts. I'm good. I ran through, we talked about the whole way through the thing.
But for me, what really set it apart was just, like, I went in with no expectations, and what I got out of it was just thoroughly impressed. I was very impressed by the cinematography, the writing, the direction, the aesthetics are fucking beautiful. This is such an aesthetically pleasing movie.
Yeah, it really is.
And that was one of, like, just from an artistic perspective, I really, really loved. it told a story that, sure, we've gotten cannibalism stories before, but just, like, the wrapping that it was in.
Yeah.
Was also just, like, one of those things where at, like, the first 30 minutes, watching Noah go through, like, her dating journeys,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh, this is too relatable. Too relatable. Too relatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was part of the reason why I loved it. Like, I was immediately sucked in. And I can absolutely see where Mimi Cave was coming from when she said she wanted to make a movie. Or, I'm sorry, not Mimi Cave. The screenwriter, Lauren.
Khan,
thank you. Who wanted to make a horror film that was attractive to both horror and non-horror fans.
Yeah.
Because it's a thrilling movie, and it's gross, but it's not like the traditional jump scare slasher.
Yeah,
like
there's no blood and guts. There's slasher elements
to it.
It's
not like a. It's
psychological.
It's psychological, but it's also not like a very bloody film.
No.
For a movie about cannibalism, like and human meat consumption, like it's not very bloody.
It's so disturbing.
I think
though.
That's. Like, this is making me think that, like, that that line she has where she's, like, pretending to, you know, understand him and she's trying to win his, you know, favor. And she says, like, I feel awful because I don't feel awful. Mm-hmm. I feel like this movie does a really good job of emanating that, like, that type of thing. Because, like, the whole time you're watching the meat of, like, the human meat, there is a part of you that's like, wait, would I eat human meat? Like, this is making it look appetizing.
Right.
Like, this is horrifying that I could also do these things that I'm finding to be so reprehensible. So I thought that was a really good kind of, like, callback to the audience to make you reflect your own feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say that, like, the kind of like a what's the word I want to look for, like the social justice themes in here, like feminism and like the racism, I think maybe that's where it doesn't hit quite on excellence, is that it has those themes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it talks about like the black guy shows up at the thing, he's like, this is some white people shit, like
I know.
I would die if I like stick around here. Like it's very aware of itself in those things, but it doesn't comment on them I don't know, maybe comprehensively enough for it to feel like it's a brilliant expose of all of these different evils within society. You know, like it's the 1% of the 1%.
It's not quite, exactly.
Yeah, it's not quite there.
Well, it's not quite Get Out, and it's not quite like, you know, like.
Yeah, I do feel though, if it tried to go that route, it might be including a little too much. So she tried to touch on it.
Wholeheartedly agree.
But also, like, she could have done a little more. Like that's kind
of. Or maybe just focus on one of those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. That it was introduced, but not 100%.
Like, it could have been, like, the feminism of Get Out, but it also tried to tie in this, like, the elite. Yeah,
you're right. Like, there's a lot of things going on.
Well,
what's that scale?
But one of the Letterboxd review where it was meant to be a joke, but I think it's really apt, where it calls this white women's Get Out. Mainly just because, like, white women also, like, kind of do everything to a lesser extent when it comes to activism and kind of I think that kind of makes it apt.
Sorry, did you finish your thoughts?
Did I
cut you off?
Nope. Oh no, we are all golden. Good. Look, we all like the movie.
General thoughts.
Oh,
thumbs
my
up.
Gosh. Shall we touch back on dating real quick before we
let's wrap up because we've kind of talked a little bit
about
it.
It's a fun topic.
But dating is weird. What does this movie do right about it, or what does it do wrong about it?
I'm going to let you guys start on this. I think I want to comment
last. Okay, so I find it, in terms of what it does right, I mean, it's hard for me to say because this is done from very much a female perspective, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and then I also, again, as we talked about earlier, I guess I'm just not like a lot of the pieces of shit on Tinder, which I appreciate.
I'm just a normal guy.
Just being a normal guy. So sometimes a lot of the stuff is anomalous.
Hella flex. I'm normal.
I'm not like other guys.
I got the testimony to back it up, all right? No, but to me also, it makes me understand that, like, oh, I don't have to worry about a lot of this stuff. It's just not on the
list. Was this at all eye-opening for you about, like...
Well, again, I've heard a lot of stories, but it's definitely a good reinforcement of that.
Sure.
And to kind of, the way the director frames the fear is something that I obviously would not have any encounter with. Like, that's just not the case. Yeah. And then to kind of see the frantic nature of realizing, like, oh, this is fucking doomed and hopeless, and the scenarios that led to it. There's a lot of psychos out there. There's definitely a lot of psychos out there. And, you know, we talk about the manosphere and all these people who are outwardly pieces of shit and look at women in this kind of almost procedural kind of way. But then
the gamification also of that, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the gamification of like, where treating dating like a video game, like a conversation tree.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if I press this or if I hit these conversation points in the right order,
mm-hmm.
it equals sex.
I'll get something out of it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. In some kind of way. Which to me is like, ugh. Like I don't know. I always dog on dudes that like freak out about, because I actually have friends, not any of the bros, but like other friends that I have that talk to me about this kind of stuff, and they have some really bitchy complaints sometimes. I'm like, dude, just why don't you? I like you as a person. Why are you not this person on a date? Like why don't you just be your fucking self? Like instead of trying to adhere to a thing,
it ultimately boils down to like a self esteem issue.
Cause, like, it is they, it's a lot of times. Yeah.
Like,
a lot of times, because
they themselves like don't think that like they're cool enough to be attracted.
Like
to
they
other
have
people.
To do certain things to like, oh, and this will get me like attention. And this, I'm like, well, they're gonna figure out who you are. So why are you? I'm not saying put all your fucking bullshit in the front. That's another story.
Right, don't
obviously.
Trauma dump.
Don't do that. Yeah. But at the same time, like, there's a version of you that we all know. That is pretty cool, and you're gonna hide that, or you're gonna like kind of approach things and again in a very gamified way, and the result's never gonna be what it never is. Never is what they want. It's never the outcome they want, even when they're looking for something serious. So to me, it's one of those things that with this movie, it just shows that even when somebody plays the part, like you never really know. You just don't know, and that's again not something that we encounter a lot of the time. At least you don't know until later on, obviously.
Well, for me...
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, no, please.
I was going to say, this is kind of a... It's a good lesson of it. If it's good, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the case also.
Where, like, sometimes, yeah, you have guys mm-hmm. where it's just like, if I follow mm-hmm. this conversation tree, I'm getting laid.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, guys where it's just like, I've been in this game long enough that if I know all the quote-unquote right things to say mm-hmm. or whatever to get the type of person that I am attracted to.
Yeah, it feels so targeted.
It's targeted. And it's
yeah.
like these targeted statements that you can say, or like basically, and this is part of the reason why I dislike dating apps, where it's like if you're at it long enough, mm-hmm. like you kind of get a vibe of like, I know what things I can say to this person to like get them, quote unquote, to like,
respond.
To respond yeah. or like yeah. me or whatever, which is like technically, yes, part of the game, but it's also like, you're doing it at the expense of, like, being yourself.
Exactly.
And, like, being a douche.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I think intent goes a lot into
exactly.
that. Exactly. Because, I mean, to me, dating is not, I never think about getting laid on the first date. It's just, you're going on a date, you're meeting somebody.
Sure.
Like, meeting somebody is the cool part. And you don't know if they're going to be a good one or a bad one. But it's nice. You know me, I'm social as fuck. So that's a nice thing. but I think a lot of people go into it, like, I have this very, like, rigid objective. It's
right.
very, like, a rigid standard, and their standard's all the way the fuck over here. And if they don't meet it, it's like it doesn't even matter, and they can kind of just, you know, treat it as a game.
I think people say that, but I think people allow their insecurities to put up that wall so that they're not being honest with themselves about
what they
really want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very, very, very good point.
Yeah. There was...
Like, the amount of times I talk to a guy, and he tells me exactly what he wants, and he, like, gives...
Oh, you cut out again.
So all of these like criteria or whatnot, and I'm like, yeah, but if a girl told you she'd want to have sex with you right now, oh shoot, yeah, I've been cutting out a lot at the end of this.
One more time, go back from guy tells you what he wants. Stop.
So guy tells me what he wants, and then I'll sit there and I'll think to myself, like, yeah, but if a girl that had none of those qualifications just mm-hmm. walked up to you and said, "Let's have sex," like I know you would. Like it's so arbitrary. That I feel like if you ever are like, oh, I have these qualifications, these are the things that I'm looking for, it's a sign of insecurity. Like, you're essentially saying, like, I am not an open-minded person that's willing to just make the effort to meet people. Like, you're specifically saying, I have been, society has shown me that these are the people that like me, so therefore I'm going to go for those types of people.
Or it's a thing, like, I will not commit to somebody unless they fit this very rigid, oftentimes stupid set of standards
and if they don't pay off. And if they don't like me and they don't have those things, it's okay, because they weren't my criteria anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's an incel, almost borderline mentality right there. Like, when incels, I feel like, learn how to date, they become that stupid bullshit.
Also where it's, like, that guy, this theoretical person we're speaking about, it's, they'll hit on someone who might not necessarily check all their boxes, but then that person will reject them, and then we'll be like, oh, well, I thought you were a fat bitch anyway, or whatever.
That's when the bitch comes out.
I thought, oh, well, you're stupid anyway, or whatever. Like, whatever insecurity, quote-unquote, that they clocked, or whatever. Like, that's the thing that they'll harp on. They'll be like, oh, well, I didn't like you that much anyway, or, like, the stupid, whatever. It's when the insults start flying.
I mean, it's easy to make excuses.
And I do think that's, like, a big part of the dating world for me, that I think now that I've hit 30 and I've had a very long-term relationship, I've done the whole dating, like, thing, there is an element where I notice people are very immature. So as soon as I notice someone has any level of maturity, that's almost hotter than, like, any of the other things that I'm looking for. So, like, if I'm on the fence about someone and they show a level of maturity, I'm like, ah, oh, shit. And I think that's why the Sebastian Stan, like, his character was so alluring, because he did seem mature. He did seem, like, grounded and not... and not annoying.
Well, he's got charm. And, charm is... Again, could be very dangerous if the person's a psycho.
But he didn't come across as, like, blatantly very charming. He wasn't, like, the stereotypical guy that's going to reel you in. He just kind of seemed like a normal, like, level-headed guy, which is, like, that's, I think, what this movie does very well, I think, for men that watch it. I mean, hopefully this is the thing they get out of it, is just how guarded women have to be in all aspects of our lives. Like, whether we're walking down an alley, whether we're walking on a brightly lit street during the middle of the day, whether we're in our cars or on the subway, or if we're talking on a dating app, like, every moment you're you have that thought in the back of your head, like, is someone trying to do something? Do I need to be aware? And in this, I think what the cinematography does very well is by, like, lulling us into this, like, very appealing, and very, like, it's very pleasing on the eyes, just the whole view of the movie, that when he finally does prove to be a monster, you're not surprised, but you are still taken aback. You're like, ah, oh, fuck. Like,
I didn't want you to be a monster.
Like, we've seen the cover. We know who's bad
here.
We
know what's happening. Yeah.
We're still upset about it.
But, like, you're really pulling the rug right now still for some reason.
And, it's almost to, like, when you guys were talking earlier, like, what it does well about, like, a horror movie, I think maybe... with most horror movies, you're expecting the main character to get out, right? And to survive and to succeed out of the situation. In this movie, I was not expecting her to live. No. So the fact that she did at the end was like, oh, it's turned that on its head too. It's taken a lot of, like, thematic tropes in horror and turned them on its head. And this is the one I didn't even realize it was doing. But I fully did not expect her to survive at the end of this movie. So the fact that she did was, I mean, good on them. And the fact they did it in a realistic way, too, was cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely an air of hopelessness to the movie. Like, it doesn't really let up.
An air of hopelessness. Yeah, I love that.
Just like in dating. See? Yeah.
And that's, like, what's funny, too, is, like, we're talking about dating and horror films, like, side by side with no interruptions. So there's just, like, this level of just, like, the same issues exist between both. It's so funny.
Oh, I just went back to Kathleen Hopeless. There you go.
Hell yeah.
Kathleen Hopeless.
Okay, so moving on to our fun question. What red flags are you ignoring for love that ends up getting you locked into a cannibalism room?
Can I just say real quick that there's a meme that recently sent to my roommate that said, like, after the first red flag, you should leave. I don't, but you totally should.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Which one gets you kidnapped?
Oh, God. I have to think about that.
I know. I'm probably thinking, too. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I never noticed red flags, honestly, until later on anyways. Like, no, I'm pretty bad about those.
The BoJack Horseman quote is very apt. The rose-colored glasses, all red flags look like flags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Like, that is absolutely, like, mm-hmm. unfortunately, like, once I'm like, you're pretty. Like, rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags.
To me, it's honestly just like, fuck. Hot and cold, hold a conversation. That's it. Those are the two. I'm like, damn, she does both? Okay, cool. I'm getting eaten. I'm going to be a meal.
I think my thing right now, and I feel like red flags always change who you are at the moment, but like mine right now is that I've been dating a lot of like foreign people, like people that are from other countries. And so whenever there's a red flag about something, like whether or not they seem misogynistic or like just, I don't know, a variety of different things, I chop it up to just like cultural differences right now versus like I should just really acknowledge that that's a shitty thing that they did. And usually I do point it out to them to try to be like, oh, hey, like, you know, that wasn't cool or like that's not fair or whatever. And they'll tell me, oh, well, that's just a cultural thing. And so I allow that to go on a lot longer than I should.
Hashtag white girl problems. There you go. Yeah. That's oh, that's funny though. Oh,
it's my white guilt manifesting in ways that I didn't expect.
See, as a pale brown, that never comes into account. I always say I'm an off brown. So.
Yeah.
How about you, Webster?
Unfortunately, the trauma dumping thing. Mm-hmm. Like I always, I'm just like, oh, they're opening up to me.
Yeah.
Every time.
They're showing vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly. Every single time I'm like, he's willing to talk about his feelings. Shit. Now I'm locked in the murder room.
He's feeling hungry. Fuck. Fuck.
Shit. Shit. Like that thing, like that's happened to me at least 3 times.
Okay, that's a pretty fair number.
Yeah. Like, but, like, for, like...
Someone's not 30 yet.
I'm also picky about who I date.
That's true.
I'm really picky about who I date.
That's true.
So, actually, it's been more than that. But within the last, what year is it, 2022? The last 2 years, it's happened 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah. Pandemic has definitely changed the landscape a little bit, for sure.
Over the last, 3 years, 2 years, it's happened 3 or 4 times, yeah. Where I'm just like... Why did I do that?
Well, I think the reason why this question is also so hard to answer for me is that, like, anything is a red flag and anything can get you locked into a cannibalistic world. Like,
that's true. That's true.
I don't know. And if anything, that's what this movie taught me, was that, like, there's no signifier that's going to just stand out to help you save yourself. Like, anything in the world can happen and we just are... sheep to the slaughter.
We're just horny sheep.
There you go.
Horny sheep.
Oh, I love this. It's great.
Okay, fair enough. So to wrap it up then, I mean, there's not really a kill of the film.
No, we just gotta go straight to rating.
Yeah. How would you rate this film out of 5 Suspicious meatballs.
Oh, I love it. Suspicious meatballs is great. Kathleen, how many suspicious meatballs?
Suspicious meatballs is my band name.
All 80s covers. Let's go.
I'm going to give this a solid 4.
All right. Solid four. I like it. This to me. Oh, why solid 4? Just
not frozen meatballs. Not solid warm toasty meatballs.
Above IKEA, but below like an Italian restaurant.
That's right. Just any Italian restaurant. So
the meatballs we saw in this movie, because those did look really fucking scrumptious.
Scrumptious suspicious meatballs. I'm going to give it 4.5 out of those. This is my most solid 4.5. Most solid 4.5. Yeah, I think it's everything you need in that kind of movie. It is, to me, again, epic. Brilliant, cusp of brilliance, but almost a 5. Maybe it'll be a 5 with multiple watching, but I think Kathleen made a very good point. It is overstuffed in a lot of ways. Again, food analogies. Almost like the meatball. Almost like a meatball. I think it could have trimmed the fat a little bit. God damn it.
Just like a meatball.
It had a little more focus. It could have been a 5. Or if it expanded on those in a way that I think gave them Fuck. A little more flavor. Damn.
Okay. I mean, you have to at this point. You've committed.
Yeah, no, I keep doing it. Alex, how many scrumptious, suspicious meatballs is fresh? How fresh is fresh?
How fresh? I'm going to give it a 4 also.
Okay.
How fresh is fresh?
I will give it a 4. I loved it. I think that... And 4 is very high for me.
No, that's true. This is an Alex... This is a, yeah. For me, it's a 4.75. Yeah. Alex gives it a 4. So.
Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed it. It was super fun. I think I will also thoroughly enjoy it with more, like, more watches. Mm-hmm. I will mm-hmm. suggest this film, like, to anyone. I think if like, you know, you have a tolerance for this kind of thing, you don't even necessarily have to be, like, a big horror fan to dig it. But, yeah, I loved it. It was just, like, it was just fun. It was a fast 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. Any final thoughts on Fresh?
Watch it.
Yes. It's streaming on Hulu. It's a Hulu, like, exclusive. Go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Pay for the no commercial, so you just run right through it.
Yeah, I'm not giving all of you my Hulu login information. Sorry.
I will post it on my story. Follow the...
No! So, all right. So, that's it for this week. That was Fresh from 2022. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for joining us again.
Yay. Thank you for having me. Sorry, I've been cutting out a lot at the end of this. So I've been a little bit more quiet than I normally have been.
It happens sometimes, so totally fine.
Nature of the internet.
Yeah.
So. But thank you so much for having me and for having me for this movie. I really, like, when Anthony mentioned it, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll do this movie. This is a good one to do. So I should really be grateful.
I was like, yeah, no, yeah. We need Kathleen for this
again,
one.
I thought this was going to be great because we're all, like, on the app. So I thought this would have been a great one to talk about. So, yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us next week.
Ooh, next week, the last regular episode of the season. Oh my God. I know, the last one, season 4, baby. We're going to be talking about something that was an internet phenomenon that turned into a movie, or was a movie, you know. It's always complicated when we go to the early 2000s. But we're going to have returning guests, which we haven't had since last season. And this movie is campy as fuck. So it's going to be great. And then that's it. And then we're going roundtable, baby, which you guys always seem to listen to, which is fantastic. And then season 5. Yeah. Then season 5. So
we have quite a few exciting things for the roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of other 2022 films to discuss. So excited for that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please make sure you are subscribed on any podcast platform that you are listening to us on. Also, if you are listening on iTunes or Spotify, that you leave us a 5-star rating. You can
don't,
do 4, I
don't
guess.
Don't do a 4.
But
do a 4.
You can do a 5. We'd appreciate it. And then if you're listening on iTunes, please make sure you write us a review as well. And then if you would like to check us out on Patreon, it's currently paused, but we're going to be revamping it and relaunching it soon. But we are on Patreon at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. And then we are on all the social medias, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I've been tweeting quite a bit about the Black Phone and Ethan Hawke. That's currently where I'm at in my life. Kathleen, do you have anything you'd like to plug, promote, or anything like that?
Not yet, but I have been thinking about starting a few different ventures of my own into a wide variety of different mediums. So one day I will have something to promote, but it's not today.
All right. Excellent.
And when that happens, she will plug it and we will be like, follow, listen, do your thing.
It'll be a whole episode's worth of content.
Yeah.
Excellent. Can't wait for that. All right. Well, thank you so much again, everyone, for listening. And never go to a second location.
That's right.
No.
You be careful with your swipes.
Bye.
See ya.